foxy.
What you're telling me is you have claustrophobia?
Yes. Yes, that's it.
All right, Catherine, let's go. I'm going to say two words, and I want you to listen very, very carefully. And I want you to take those two words out of this office and incorporate them into your life.
Oh, okay. Should I write them down?
Well, no. If it makes you comfortable, we find that most people can remember them. It's just two words.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right, here they are. Stop it!
I'm sorry?
Stop it!
Stop it.
Yes! S-T-O-P, new word, I-T.
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
You know, it's funny. I say two simple words, and I can't tell you how many people have said the exact same thing you're saying right now. Catherine, I'm not speaking Yiddish. This is English. Stop it!
So, I should just stop it?
There you go.
Right, but you don't understand. It's something I've had with me since childhood.
We don't go there.
Okay, so I should just stop being afraid of being buried alive in a box.
You got it. Good girl. All right, that was only 3 minutes, so that'll be $3.
Okay, well, I only have a five, so...
I don't make change.
Okay, well then I guess I'll take the full 5 minutes.
Fine. All right. What other problems would you like to address today?
I tend to bite my nails when I get nervous.
Stop it! That's disgusting! I mean, think about all the germs. Are you crazy? Just stop it.
But you don't understand. My mom used to tell me when I was...
No, we don't go there.
Okay, so I had this dream once, and...
Boy, we don't go there either.
Well, my horoscope, now
we
that did say...
We definitely don't go there. Just stop it. What else?
Okay, well, let's see. I have self-destructing relationships with men.
Stop it! You want to be with a man, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Well, stop being such a big baby then. Just stop it.
Okay, I'm afraid to drive.
Stop it! You want to get around, don't you? I mean, get in the car and drive, you kook. Stop it.
No, you stop it. You stop it.
Well, what's the problem, Catherine?
Well, I don't like this therapy one bit. All you're doing is telling me to stop it.
Oh, and you don't like that?
No, I don't. I don't like that at all.
We're taking things a little too fast. Is that it?
Yes. Yep. Yes, that's it.
All right, Catherine. I'm going to give you 10 words right now that I think will clear everything up. Do you want to get your pad and paper or your pad and your pen for this?
Sure.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right, here they are. Stop it or I'll bury you alive in a box! Costume anymore. Did you realize that was me? I took that was me. That was just Heidi and me. I don't know if you guys realize that. Some of you maybe realized it right away because you've taken some counseling sessions with me and it sounded very familiar perhaps. No, we did not write that. That is something that was on Mad TV at the turn of this century. And there just weren't any high-resolution recordings of it. So, but we thought it was good and important to present something like that because so often that's the attitude that we run into, especially if we're struggling with something and then we share our struggle. And somebody, they don't have the same struggle, they don't have the understanding, they have a hard time stepping into our shoes. Weeks ago we talked about blessed are the merciful, and someone who has merciful is someone who can step into someone else's shoes and experience what they're experiencing, feel what they're feeling. And if you have a hard time doing that, it's easy to think, why do people keep doing stuff that's destructive? Why don't they just Stop it. Hopefully during this series, you've gotten an idea about why maybe some people can't just stop it. We are dealt certain cards in our lives. Just a review of the series, and if you're taking notes, and Brent, maybe if we could bring the, or Jan, bring the lights up just a little bit in the house, if people are taking notes. We've talked about my chemistry. Physically, I'm dealt who I am physically, and yet I have choices. I can choose to become healthier. No matter where I am physically, I can choose to become healthier. My connections, those are my relationships. So sometimes we're born into relationships that we can't choose, but we can choose, instead of isolating ourselves and separating ourselves, we can choose to deepen our relationships. We're given circumstances, things that are done to us. These are cards that were dealt. We can't choose all of those. We can choose to trust God no matter what. And then my consciousness, sometimes I have thoughts that flow into my mind that I don't necessarily choose. However, I can choose what I do with those next. I can choose how I handle those. I can choose what I think about. This week is the fifth week in the series. It's the fifth card, and while there are four cards that are generally dealt to us, there is a fifth card, my choices, and that's the card that is the wild card. It gives us the opportunity to change all the rest of these. And if this is your first week here, you can find the rest of these messages at newdaywi.com and listen to them. You can see other resources that are available to you. Just open up your program and you'll see some resources listed there. If you're struggling with anxiety, you're struggling with depression, we've got video resources, we've got a book, we've got references to biblical counseling centers. We want you to experience something better than what you saw on stage. And we want to be a church of people who exercise mercy, a safe place where people can admit what they're struggling with and have somebody come alongside them and say, I'm with you. You're not alone in this. Let's walk through this together. This last card that changes everything, I can choose Jesus as my Savior. God demonstrates His love for you through Jesus. When you respond to Him by accepting His love and loving Him in return, there are some promises that you can hold on to. And I want to highlight some of those promises. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 17, the Apostle Paul is explaining to new disciples of Jesus. So we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. We've got to look at things differently. We talked about this last week in my consciousness. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God will change the way you think. Verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. This is a promise. A new life has begun. Man. To be a church that like highlights that, even like on the name or the sign, that's like a reminder to people. Like if there's a new day that starts, God's mercies are new every morning. You can be refreshed in Him. Romans 8, 15 through 17, again, the Apostle Paul trying to explain to people what this means. When you've chosen Jesus as your Savior, what are the promises that go along with it? He says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Look at the promises there. God has taken you from being separated, from being alone, from being cut off, and has said, you are mine. You are my child. Now we call Him Abba Father. This word Abba is more than just a reference to a 70s band. It's an Aramaic word that means daddy. When a child is lost and they're crying out for their daddy in the Holy Land, they're crying out, Abba! We could call God our Heavenly Father, our Daddy. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. These are amazing promises about hope and a future. No matter your circumstances, no matter your chemistry, no matter the harmful connections, no matter your consciousness and how your brain keeps beating you up, no matter your circumstances, if you call Jesus Christ your Savior, you are an heir. But if we are to share in His glory, we must also share in His suffering. So does suffering stop? No. Suffering doesn't stop, but our response to it changes. We're no longer controlled by the circumstances around us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, "Oh, praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in our troubles." All right, so you're going to have troubles, and here's what God does. He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. The greatest command is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. As we suffer, we experience love from God, and it gives us an opportunity to love others better, to understand what they're going through, to come alongside them and share with them the strength and the comfort we've experienced. When they are troubled, Paul continues, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with His comfort through Christ. Even when we're weighed down with troubles, it's for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. God has made you a new person. You are no longer a slave to fear. You are a child of God. Even in your suffering, God will comfort you and will prepare you to comfort other people. Do you believe these promises from God? Have you experienced these promises from God? If you haven't experienced them or you're having a hard time believing them, I'm really excited that you have an opportunity today to do more than just hear from me. You're going to hear from a couple of people who have experienced these promises from God. I'm going to invite my friend Matt to come up. Now, Matt was here during this series, and after one of the weeks, he approached me and he said, "Pastor Aaron, I need to share. I just need to share." That doesn't happen all the time. And so Matt and I have talked, and he's going to tell you how he's seen God at work in his life. So Matt, why don't you tell us your story a little bit?
Thank you, Aaron. So My story starts where really I just want to get something that has been in me for a long time. It's defined me as far as who I am, what I do in the community, what I do at church. So, and my purpose is to hopefully shed some light on what mental illness is, how a childhood with adverse childhood events happens, and that's really what happened with church, with the message that Aaron was talking about. So, and also to give those of you that have never experienced that an understanding. So, when I was 3 years old, or actually when I was born, my dad also developed a disease called schizophrenia. And if you don't know what that is, it's really a disease of the mind that makes people think things are there that really are not. It can be stuff that they can interact with. It could be stuff that they just see there. There could be a phone on the ground, and it could really not be there. So my dad developed this about the time that I was born, and by the time I was 3, my mom felt that my dad was really a detriment to the family. So she sought divorce. And so that happened. My mom was able to separate us from my dad. But really, he was still a part of our life. About several years later, he decides to try to, he has visitation rights with us, and he just alienates that. So visitation rights gone. Shortly thereafter, he decides, well, since I can't see my kids in visitation, I'm gonna go there to school. And so he decides to try to go to school, and all of a sudden I hear a teacher come to the door. Matt, you have to go, your dad's here. So me and my sister, we walk home to our grandma's house safe and sound. A few years later, my dad, maybe frustrated by the fact that he couldn't see his kids, maybe just wanting to go home, he decides to go home. And at this point, he has a restraining order. My mom has a restraining order on him. And this restraining order, he decided to violate that. He broke into my mom's house and he just physically assaulted my mom. So these events, while it ended pretty much there for my family, he continued that out into the community. He really destroyed what I thought of should be a man, and how I should be as if I were a father, or how a father should act, rather. And so, for the longest time, I took this thing and I hid it, because to have that out in the open, what would people think? How would they act? Would they make fun of me? Would they be ashamed of me? And so I kept that hidden. And then as time progressed, as I moved up to here, I really decided that I have to be better. I have to do something with this thing that has had such a traumatic impact on my life, on my family's life, and try to do something good with that. That's how I got involved in the community, how I got to be a disciple of Christ, how I became involved with New Day.
All right. So you had a situation, Matt, where your dad not only was he not there for you, he became really an embarrassment to you and your family and the community, a danger to your mom, to you and your siblings. These are things that we've been talking about, circumstances, connections. I'm sure that affected how you talked to yourself, your consciousness. And what you're saying is you chose to, rather than isolate yourself, to connect to
Well, we both have the same thing going on. I just have a red screen flashing at me.
Connect to a family of faith and get involved in the community. Part of the reason Matt had the timer set up here is he's involved in an organization called Toastmasters.
Yep.
He's a leader in that. He's done the Tough Mudder.
Yep.
He's done Chalk Fest. I mean, he's part of Young Professionals. He's really pressed into, rather than pulling away from, connections, and I'm sure it's got to be challenging. And yet, many of you who have been in a small group with Matt, or have served on a ministry team with him, Matt serves on our finance ministry team, have helped to support that.
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. There are some people who are in this room, some people in this community, who are going through exactly or very similar to what Matt went through. And we need to be a people who are available to make those connections, to provide support, to provide understanding, to be a safe place. I appreciate you trusting us and sharing your story with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's thank Matt. During the course of this series, I got an email from someone who I had never met before, and the timing was only by God's design. And I want, it's not just that I want. This young man also said, I'd like to share my story. Nick, come on up and share with us what God has been doing in your life. And I want you to listen for ways that we could not have planned it, ways that God has been at work.
Hey, everybody. So my name is Nick, and I suffer with depression and anxiety, specifically panic disorder and bipolar disorder. And depression is you don't care about anything. Anxiety is you care about everything. And together, it is honestly a living hell. My specific depression is called state bipolar disorder. For people like us, it is either you're at a manic high like this, you can do anything, you can conquer the world, you can write a movie if you wanted to, and then like that, you're down here. Just the most negative thoughts you could think of. And I had overnight gone from, I'm in a pretty good mood, to waking up the next day saying, I could just kill myself right now. And a couple days later, I hadn't gotten sleep at all, and I took a drive to try to clear my head, and I ended up calling my mom saying, I can't do this anymore. I'm leaving town. I'm throwing my phone in the lake. I can't do this. I'm gone. She eventually talked me out of it, and I got back to my apartment, and I sat there and thought for a few minutes, just the most negative thoughts, and I had become completely hopeless. And I'm going to be straight up honest with you, I took my belt and I put it around my neck, and all I had to do was drop. So when that happened, I called my mom, just sobbing, saying, I need help. I need help now. I can't do this. So I voluntarily checked myself into the healthcare center and went through a lot of therapy there, and I felt a lot better. Once I got discharged from there, I contacted Pastor Aaron saying, man, I'm going through just the hardest time of my entire life. Like, I need to talk to somebody who has a connection to God, because I don't feel it. I don't feel it at all. I don't feel close to God. I feel like he hates me. So we met, and I asked him, I said, why do bad people get things handed to them? People like me that like to help people always suffer with mental illness. Just why? And we had a very good discussion that night, and when I got back home, I just said, I had a moment in my room, I said, I cannot do this anymore. God, I need you now. We've never been close, but I need you now. I am giving up this fight. I am giving it to you. And I gotta tell you, since that's happened, I feel like something has been lit up inside me, and I have given my life over to God. I have stopped fighting it. Now, that's not to say that since I did that, I imagine the cure. I'm sorry, there is no cure for mental illness. There is only treatment. The skit said perfectly, one of the worst things you can say to somebody who's suffering with depression or anxiety or something is stop it, because we can't. There's only hope, medication, than that. But there are two words that I talked to with Aaron about that now, whenever something like that comes on, because I still struggle. I still feel episodes of panic for no reason at all. It's a chemical imbalance in my brain. And I still feel depressed, very, very low. But instead of stop it, instead of those worthless thoughts, you suck, just go die, I think, but God. You remember those two words?
Two of the most hopeful words.
But God. like I said, it's still a struggle. I'm still fighting. I'm still in therapy. I'm also a musician, too, around here. That's my number one calling. It always makes me feel better. But when I do get those thoughts of just, you're worthless, just I always tell myself, but God loves you.
Yes.
God has your back, and he's not going to let you fall. And so that's what brings me back up to that neutral state that I need to be. And I just want to come and share that with you guys and just say a big thank you to the church in here that it's kind of opened my eyes to know that there is hope. And if anybody here, because I'm sure somebody in here is struggling with that mental illness, but is too afraid to say it, and that's okay. I was afraid forever too. But if you are, please just talk to somebody. I like helping people. I've suffered with this for 13 years now. Talk to me, talk to Aaron, get some counseling, pray to God, because there is treatment and there is hope, and I don't want to see any more people losing their lives to this, because it is a silent killer. And so I just basically want to say thank you and amen for the Savior I received.
Psalm of David, a prayer for all of us, no matter what cards we've been dealt. Psalm 119:73. You made me. You created me. Now give me the sense to follow your commands. Let's pray. God, all of us have walked in here with cards that we've been dealt, and we could add them up, and we could become victims to them. We could look at them and say, we're done. But God, you have expressed your love to us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet hopeless, while we were yet helpless, while we were yet hurling accusations against you, even while we were rebelling against you, you demonstrated your love for us, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross. But God, you have given us the opportunity to be called your children. But God, even as we suffer, you comfort us in our suffering. We are so thankful, God, for who you are. Let us live lives in obedience to you, discovering the wonderful things you have for us and your promises, just as Matt and Nick have discovered. Thank you for them. God, continue to provide for them, continue to protect them, continue to allow them to be a comfort to others, and continue to give them the humility to rely on you and to rely on other people to support them. Thank you, God, for being strong in our weakness. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope this series has been impactful for you. And again, if you haven't been here through the whole thing, please go online, listen to the messages, check them out.